The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Football Friday with the Boss.
I go outside like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that. Welcome back. Hour number two underway, and we're about to be joined by Richard Justice of MLB. He has covered the MLB for seemingly forever. In fact, we've had two legends today because, of course, Rick Gosselin has covered the NFL for 48 years. I said over 48, and I think he grimaced when I said it, but it's been a long run.
Is that what got him salty towards me?
That's what he got a little salty toward.
Thanks,
the gloss,
David.
I think.
Throwing me into the bus there.
But Richard Justice is a savant in baseball. He can talk to you about Earl Weaver and the Orioles way back and the hurlers that they threw out there with Jim Palmer and others.
He, oh my gosh, Jim Palmer, you're dating yourself.
Yeah, well, he's most known. You probably remember him for his underwear pictures, but he had a little run
taking
there.
Taking the fifth.
And then Tommy John came out with a line of underwear that did very well. But, no, Richard's amazing, and it will be great to get his insights.
It's World Series season.
On this World Series. That Dodgers team looks very, very impressive, but it would not surprise me if the Rays pull out a win.
I'm rooting for the underdog, as always. And plus, as an Astros fan, I cannot root for the Dodgers.
Yeah, there's been a little history with those two teams over the last couple
bit.
Of years.
Oh, and I have to stop myself from thinking the Astros are one game away from being in the World Series. Boy, a Dodgers-Astros World Series would have drama and feistiness and storylines and ugliness. Major League Baseball would like that.
Yeah, I know.
This series is too clean right now.
Well, they would have liked that intensity. Yes, and I think it would have been good for baseball, but I think they were quite happy to have the Astros fade from view and the whole cheating scandal. When we come back, I do want to ask Richard Justice his perspective. I mean, Alex Cora, will he manage for the Red Sox next year? There were whispers that he might come back. The Red Sox might bring him back.
A.J. Hinch.
Will A.J. Hinch manage next year? Jeff Lowe now has come out and said he had no idea that this was happening. He, of course, the general manager of the Astros in the midst of the cheating scandal. Did he not know? MLB says they have emails where this was communicated to Jeff, and he did not respond to those emails, or he responded and said he only read parts of those emails. It will be great to get Richard's perspective on what did he know and when did he know it. And so we'll have a great chance to catch up with him and learn more insights on all things MLB.
I'm excited. Let's let it roll.
All right, Richard Justice up next when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Now let's go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Well, joining us here on the Progressive Insurance guest line is MLB expert Richard Justice. Richard, thanks for joining. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys.
Well, I want to get your observations. Two games in the books in the World Series. What have you seen?
You know, I guess sort of what we expected. The Dodgers have been the best team since opening day. They're in terms of winning percentage and run differential. They're one of the best teams the last 50 years. But as we get to the playoffs, as we get to the World Series, they're trying to win the World Series with essentially two starting pitchers and going bullpen days every other day. They kept 14 pitchers on the roster. Tampa Bay has their pitching plans mapped out beforehand. But in every other way, defense is equal. Dodgers are better offensively. I think it just means that in terms, if you look at how different the two teams are and how they're constructed and all of that, what we have is a pretty even World Series, and that's a cool thing.
Everything's even except the payroll, for sure, Richard.
Exactly. And, yeah, and the attendance, I think I looked up, the Dodgers have been second, third, and fourth in payroll the last 5 years. The Rays have been 28th or 30th. The Dodgers Amazing. Have led Major League Baseball in attendance for seven straight years, have the most, maybe one of the most iconic ballparks ever built, and the Rays don't know where they're going to be playing in 2027.
You know, I saw a figure that said that Kershaw and Betts' combined salaries in 1 year is the entire payroll for Tampa Bay. So,
right.
Richard, in talking about Kershaw, game one, he got that beast off his back. Is this has he done it? Has he slayed the dragons? Are we going to see vintage Kershaw in these playoffs?
I hope so. And I read this, that this is the first postseason where he has not been asked to pitch in relief or on short rest. And if you look at some of it, I don't want to alibi for the guy, but I mean, I truly love the guy. But if you look at some of the past performances, he was the guy. He was carrying the team, and some of the workloads were just incredible. I tell the story of before Game 3 of the 2018 World Series. It's dark at Dodger Stadium. Everybody is gone, and somebody says, "Look in left field," and in left field was Clayton with a towel. Mimicking his motion, throwing, just trying to be perfect. I was in New York a couple of years ago when he accepted his third Cy Young Award. And what he did, his acceptance speech, was about his routine day at Dodger Stadium. And the more you listen to it, you realize, well, this is not about him at all. This is about giving credit to the trainers and the teammates and the coaches who helped him. He pitched a game at spring training a couple of years ago. Somebody sit with the Dodger system. Come watch this. Go to the bullpen and watch him warm up. And what it was every member of the pitching staff came out to watch Clayton warm up. That's the esteem he's held in. So, yeah, I'm not objective. I want him to do well. And, you know, Vince Cully called his curveball public enemy number one. I'm sure if Vinny was watching at home, he would call his slider public enemy number two. He had it all going.
We're talking to Richard Justice, national MLB reporter and writer. I want to ask you about Mookie Betts. Is he now the best player, the best everyday player in baseball?
We had that discussion. We had a Slack room debate that we published yesterday on that very topic. Offensively, Trout is better. No question about that. But when you factor in Mookie's Gold Glove defense and the fact that Mike Trout has gone backwards defensively, and the base running. And also, David, just as you can see by watching, as you know, as a Red Sox fan, there's a presence to Mookie. There's the emotion and just the face. I mean, his face may be the face of baseball right now, and all that matters a lot. But I do think, bottom line is, you can argue they're even, but you know, there's something called recency bias. We're getting to see Mookie at his best on the biggest stage, the brightest lights, and we haven't been able to see Mike there.
That's so true, Richard. It's a great point about Mookie. So we're based here out of Houston. Got to ask you about these Astros and their unwelcome run in the playoffs to everybody else but an Astros fan. You know, they were underdogs against Minnesota. They absolutely spanked the Oakland A's, who were heavily favored, and were one game shy of going to their third World Series in 4 years. Does this silence any of the haters? Does this help them at all going forward?
Well, you know, that's the part of it. If you could just remove that part of it, they were an amazing story. What did they debut? Ten pitchers made their major league debut this year. They were absolutely decimated, and they figured it out along the way how to win. And they found these guys like Christian Javier and Framber Valdez, Framber was one of the best pitchers in baseball last year.
Oh, my goodness.
They were so fun to watch. And it was like they got a little bit of their swagger back. You know, we're going to have fans back in the stands at some point, and they will get a chance to boo them. I was in spring training after the hubbub had died down, and they were getting booed every day. They'd done the news conference. Now, I know those guys well enough to know they were beat down mentally, because when your whole signature thing is that, the question I get asked the most, are they really like that? Do they like each other and like the game as much as it appears they do? Well, that would be true. And when you go from being everybody admiring the way you do your job to everybody hoping you fail, I don't care who you are, that's a mental beatdown. And so now, you know, turning, they, it just was fun to watch them play. It's fun to watch George Springer play baseball. So now it'll be interesting to see, you know, they're beginning a transition period to see what they do with the roster going forward and if they're able to keep George Springer.
Mm-hmm. Those are great questions, and we're nervous about it here in Houston. So regarding the Astros again, so do you think, in your opinion, are the Astros considered Major League Baseball's whipping boys? Because you look at the Boston Red Sox, who won their World Series the year after the Astros won in 17. They also were caught cheating. They also were led by Cora. And, you know, because apparently in Houston, Cora and Beltran were the kind of the instigators. Cora goes to Boston, the same thing happens. Slap on the wrist. Nobody's ever talking about Boston and questioning that World Series. What gives there?
Yeah, you know, it was a little, I think it was a little different what they were doing. And certainly what the Yankees got caught doing was they were sequencing the signs, stealing the signs, and then telling the guy at second base, hey, this is what we're seeing. See if you see the same thing. Where the Astros were just doing it in real time. I'm not going to defend the Astros. What they did, they did, I think. You know, if you put truth serum in it. And I'm not going to go with the whataboutism. Because the Astros thought the Dodgers were doing it. They thought the Indians were doing it. And I'm sure everybody was trying to do something to, you know, because you put these monitors right behind the dugout. That's a pretty big temptation. How can we use it and not break the rules? I remember what the Yankees were doing. Mark Teixeira said it got so confusing that he finally said, we better stop it. It's against the rules, and somebody's going to get killed. You're making it too complicated. But what the Astros were doing was just first to third. and you know, the funny thing, everything that came out, the A's had whispered for years. What changed was one player who had been a member of the Astros was willing to go on the record. So, you know, they didn't need to do it, but everybody, I don't care who you are in every business, everybody's looking for a competitive advantage. It just, theirs happened to be pretty egregious.
Sure.
We're talking to Richard Justice, national MLB writer, reporter, MLB expert. Let me ask you, Jeff Luhnow, this week, of course, came out and said he had no involvement in the scandal. What was your reaction to his comments?
The Athletic reported that he wasn't completely forthright, that, and Commissioner Manfred, I believe, has said this week, we have more evidence that he knew.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff has acknowledged, you know, that he was the man in charge. It's impossible to prove a negative. Like, I've been thinking about this a lot. The New York Mets have hired a hedge fund guy named Steve Cohen. He's in the process of being approved as owner, Steve Cohen. And if you see the Showtime show Billions, that character, Bobby Axelrod, is based on Steve Cohen. Hmm. Would Steve bring Jeff in? That's why I joke with the guys in New York. I said you're going to get Luno on day one and Hinch on day two, and you're going to win a World Series in year three. So, you know. But I think Jeff, I would hope, regardless of what he knew or didn't know, that he has learned a lesson, and that regardless of what you knew or didn't know, you are in charge.
I was reading the Boston Globe last week, and there was an open discussion about whether the Red Sox would bring Alex Cora back as their manager. Can you envision that?
I can. Look, I think with both A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora, you have to get down to do the strengths outweigh the weaknesses. And I think both of them would say, I messed up. A.J. will tell you, like, in the most basic way of leadership, I fail. But I'm telling you, David, I've been doing this a long time. He's the best I've ever been around. Hmm. And Alex is right there in terms of representing the organization, creating the right environment with players. Now, are there other guys out there? The guy that manages the Rangers, Chris Woodward, is awfully good. Kevin Cash is good. So, but with Cora and AJ, you get a proven, absolute proven commodity. Yes, I can see it happening. But the comments I've seen from Chaim Bloom, the new president of baseball operations of the Red Sox, has led me to believe they're not going to go down that road, but we'll see.
Boy, Bloom had a tough first year with the Red Sox and losing Mookie Betts or trading him away as they did. And then all of the COVID drama, yes, it's been a really tough year for the Red Sox.
It has been. And I'm sure you've seen this on Twitter. It's every time Mookie makes a play in the World Series, somebody tweets, yes, but financial flexibility is an MVP.
Yeah, the Astros should take notes with their negotiations with George Springer. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, to me, he's the most important player of this era, in that he's the DJ after victories. When he was injured, they asked him to be in the clubhouse. He sets a tone. His energy, when AJ put him at the top of the lineup, it was, and when Mookie Betts was put at the top of the lineup in Boston, Alex Cora said, he said, "You're going to bat me first?" He goes, "Yes, I want you to do for us what George Springer did for them." I can't, I'm so biased about him. I know his family. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine Georgie playing anyplace else.
I can't either. It hurts me to think of another jersey right on him. It really does hurt me. You know who else I think was really stepped up in a great way this season, and the shortened season really benefited, is Carlos Correa. I mean, what a leader he became, in facing the demons of dealing with this scandal and just owning up to it. And then on the field, talking with Framber Valdez, against the Rays, really firing him up, performing, at the plate, telling Dusty, "I'm going to walk this off." He walks it off, after in-game adjustments. It's really great to see a young guy who's actually been so prone to injury have time to rest with that 5 months off or whatever that time frame was, come back and just take it by the storm.
It's like we've seen a superstar born right in front of our eyes. He was a star. He was a great player. But only the injuries held him back. But it's like now he's checking every box. He's representing the franchise. He's a great teammate. He's got a physical presence. He's a big guy. I go back to when they drafted him. One of the stories I heard about him was, the kid grew up speaking Spanish, and he learned English in like 9 months. Yeah. And that tells you, this guy is going to end up being special in so many ways, and he is a great player.
All right, well, that's Richard Justice of MLB. Richard, you're one of my favorites. Great to have you on the air. Really appreciate your joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Sounds like a winner.
It's a winner. Well, it's great to visit with Richard Justice about all things MLB.
Good.
He is a font of knowledge, really, really exceptional. He is a guy who has covered MLB for seemingly forever. He now works for MLB.com, and you can catch his content there. While we have this segment, I do want to shift gears to the NBA for just a minute because, of course, the NBA offseason, as some have said, is sometimes more entertaining than the regular season.
It's going to be good.
But one big headline this week was Stan Van Gundy taking control, becoming the head coach of the Pelicans, and he gets to really usher in the Zion era. Zion, of course, a rookie last year, played part of the season, but Zion will be a real fixture in the league for a long time. Perhaps the next LeBron would be the biggest, but almost too much of a label to put on anybody at this point. And Stan Van Gundy steps into a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah, he really does. He inherits a team that's got some young guys now in their trade with the Lakers. They have the most improved player of the year in Brandon Ingram. They've got, obviously, Zion, hopefully for the whole season.
Ingram came over from the Anthony Davis trade.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly, along with Lonzo Ball. Stan Gundry's 61. They've given him a four-year contract, so he's going to be in Mike D'Antoni territory when he finishes there in New Orleans. But he's had 12 seasons with Miami, Orlando, and Detroit. He's been to the playoffs 8 times in those 12 seasons.
Do you like Jeff Van Gundy or Stan Van Gundy as a coach more?
I'm a Jeff fan.
Yes.
Myself.
But it's interesting. The job he does covering on television, the NBA, I think has enhanced his stature in front of the fans.
Oh, I do too. But he is a colorful coach,
well,
Jeff.
He's insightful.
Sure.
He educates the fans. He displays his knowledge on TV. And I think it's made us all think, my gosh, he could be on the sidelines and a very effective coach. And, of course, he was. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy.
Well, and he may be.
He may well be
the coach in Houston. There's two vacancies left, Oklahoma City and Houston.
Well, and he's come to town. He's talked to Rockets brass. He's obviously had a visit with Tillman Fertitta. Daryl Morey is still around in a transitional role. Morey will depart soon, but has offered to help during this window. The Rockets are at a real pivot point. I mean,
oh boy.
Tillman Fertitta came out this week and said that they will not trade Russell Westbrook or James Harden. It's sort of hard to know what the Rockets can do to reposition themselves in a very, very tough Western Conference.
I know. I saw that by Tillman this week, and I found it curious. I mean, obviously, you look at them as they're two superstars, two cornerstones of a franchise for sure. And in Daryl Morey's era, he has always had two superstars. You know, he brought in James Harden, then he paired him with Dwight Howard. That didn't really work. Then he brought in Chris Paul. That didn't really work. Then he brought in Russell Westbrook. And honestly, in this modern day NBA, you've got to have two superstars.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have a Stephen Clay. You've got to have a LeBron and AD. You've got to have a Kyrie and Paul George. You've got to have at least two superstars. But you also need to have a really good supporting cast. And I really think the Rockets missed the boat when they traded Clint Capella. That was their one big. Not only was he their big, but he was on the rise dramatically year after year because he's such a workhorse and he dedicated so much of his training with Hakeem Olajuwon, the best center to play the game at that point and probably ever, in my opinion. And he had an incredible connection with James Harden. So that, I think, so they went to a small ball style to compete against a Warriors team that was non-existent last year. But look now, they've got the rough and tumble Western Conference looking him in the eye. Steph and Clay are back at Golden State.
Steph and Clay. And, of course, they're going to have the number two pick overall, which has at least trade value. They'll probably bring in some veteran to pair with those guys.
And not to mention they have Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green still on that team, at least as of now if they don't trade Wiggins in the draft. But look at the Clippers. They have a new coach in Ty Lue, so he's going to probably handle Paul George and Kawhi Leonard differently, play them together more than Doc Rivers did. I mean, those two, that tandem, had 37 games together the entire season. So no surprise that they're
playoff favorites. Let's pause on that team because I really – look, everybody knows they underachieved last year. I think the load management was certainly an issue. The limited season was certainly an issue. But give them a full season. Everything that we all liked about that team last year, the great perimeter defense, the two standout stars, they really should make – under Ty Lue, I think they should make a deep run into the playoffs next year. I think they've got a real chance to unseat the Lakers.
I agree with you. With Ty Lue at the helm, look what he did in Cleveland with LeBron and Kyrie and then a cast of characters. I mean, he knows how to manage that. I mean, the players respect him. They play for him. I think this will be good.
If you can manage the joint egos of Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, you've got my attention.
Absolutely. And look what it did. It won him a championship. You know, let's not forget to mention, besides Golden State and the Clippers, the defending champs are in the Western Conference, and the Lakers and LeBron and AD are back. I don't think Rondo's going to be back, so they'll just bring in someone younger. I mean, they're looking formidable yet again. And don't forget about Denver. Don't sleep on Denver. They are young. They are well coached. They are on the verge. They are on the verge of a breakout.
Yeah, they snuck up on people this year.
Yeah, they did.
And I think everyone will be ready for them next year, but they're certainly a team with some good talent and worthy of respect. It's interesting we're talking all about the Western Conference. It does feel, again, like the best talent is the best teams are all on the Western Conference side. Eastern Conference, you'd have to expect the Celtics, two stars to develop. You mentioned having two superstars.
Yep.
When Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum take that next level up, I think that's worthy of respect. And they've got some other great players on that team as well. I guess, though, really, you could look at the Western Conference and say that the top two or three teams in the Western Conference may be superior next year to any team in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, I agree. Because you look at Giannis, who's been the two-time MVP. Who does he have around him? There's no second superstar. You've got Chris Middleton, but he's not consistent. It's tough.
When we come back, we're going to look at the NFL matchups this weekend, including the big showdown for the Steelers, who come in undefeated. It'll be a big game this weekend. And then the Bucks and the Raiders. Will unpack all those things when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
In the Cross.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Carla, you've been in my office and you have seen an amazing replica of Fenway Park.
It is pretty fire.
Okay. Everybody needs to do this. You need to go to homefields.com. Homefields has more than 160 customized sports stadiums and arenas. They are handcrafted and they're available to ship to you for free. Homefields.com is the perfect destination for the sports fan in your life. And I've got that beautiful Fenway Park Stadium in my office. I love it. You'll love stadiums as well. Go to homefields.com, get your favorite stadium, and enter promo code SPORTSMAP when you check out. Go there today, homefields.com.
Did you notice how nice Ron Culver, our producer, was? He just played Friday night for us on this Friday to get us fired up. I like it, Ron. Is this going to fire up your Chargers this weekend? They could actually get a win.
You know, full disclosure, pretty much all the songs today have had Friday in the title.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm just coming alive in hour two.
That's all right.
Well, she had a cup of coffee in the break.
I recognized it before the boss.
That's good.
Well, when it comes,
I wouldn't be bragging about that in front of the boss, but that's fine. That's you.
That's true. That's my salary on the line.
When it comes to music, the gloss is way, way ahead of me, and usually far out on the dance floor long before I ever get there.
Someone's got to warm it up. Ron, your Chargers, they have a possibility. Jacksonville, what's going to happen? Give us the call.
It's a W.
Listen. If the Chargers don't win another game this season, I'm okay. Because we've already won this season.
Well, there you go.
Why? Because you found a franchise quarterback.
Because we found our quarterback.
Yes, yeah. You did.
And that to me, I mean, listen, when Troy Aikman went 1-15, sure, there was a little bit of you, David, where you were like 1-15, but you saw the future.
Right.
And how did that turn out for you?
Pretty darn well.
So that's all I'm looking at is, hey, if we go 1-15 this year, I see what our future holds. Let's just go get two more really good pieces and, yeah, just play it from there. I'm fine with it. I think we will win this weekend, but.
Could you use that same theory? Would you say that about the Texans?
No.
Why?
Because they have had their quarterback.
Yeah.
They've had their quarterback, and really, when we look ahead, they don't have any draft capital
this year. No. They have nothing.
The problem for the Texans is, what do you do now? I mean, they've taken care of the GM and coach issue.
Well, no, they've gotten rid of it. They've eliminated the people.
Right. But that's right. They've got to find the new one. But they don't have the draft capital. They're bumping up against a salary cap issue. Really, it's not like they're going to go out and sign a bunch of players. How do you upgrade this team in the offseason?
Can you untrade the DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson?
Ask for a redo.
Yeah, could we reverse?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not that one. Maybe you send Laramie Tunsil back and get your – you know, first round pick back.
Amen.
Well, it is amazing because, of course, the Texans at 1-5 will probably end up with a top 10 pick, and that pick will go to the Dolphins.
Sure.
And so
will their second round.
Dolphins are really poised to have a great draft yet again and build the pieces around Tua.
Let's change subjects from
this. All right. Well, one thing I would say about Justin Herbert that's sort of interesting is, did his success and did Joe Burrow's success put pressure on Miami to bring their quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, onto the field? Because it was fun. The Athletic went back, and the Athletic looked at quarterbacks who were taken top five picks from the years 2011 to 2020. So a long, good run, about 9 years, top five quarterback draft choices. And nearly everybody had started prior to week 8. Nearly everybody. In fact, the only one who did not was Jared Goff, who had to wait until week 11 to get his first start. But Tua will start week 8, and everybody else has started faster. So he is on the slow clock. And, well, it just might be the time they felt they needed to get going. I guess the best argument for me to play Tua now, even though Ryan Fitzpatrick has played well, even though they're positioned for a playoff run, is just that they're never going to win a championship with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're not going to win a championship this year. The future, the opportunity to win a championship really depends upon Tua. Let's start developing him. Let's start on the championship road.
Well, and they're right in the thick of it in the AFC East. You know, Buffalo's leading the division at 4-2. Then it's Miami at 3-0, New England at 2-3, and the Jets at an ofer. So they've got a chance. And even testing out Tua and seeing how he does, I mean, they've got it. They still can be in it.
Well, if Tua can play as well as Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow with their supporting cast, yes, the Dolphins could contend against the Bills, who Josh Allen's been up and down. So there's certainly a chance that the Dolphins could come out on top in that division. All right, the big matchup this weekend, though, Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
The unbeatens.
The two unbeatens, 5-0 both teams, really look forward to that matchup. And it features a really great running game with Derrick Henry against a really great defensive front and rush defense with Pittsburgh.
Yes, although Pittsburgh is missing linebacker Devin Bush, he is out for the season with a torn ACL. Yet another one.
Yeah.
Two more went down. Yep. Taylor Lewan with Tennessee, the same. So they've got a dueling ACL injuries on either side, missing Taylor Lewan on the offensive line. I do think it's going to be a really fascinating game. And if Pittsburgh can thank the Texans for anything, it's for that beautiful scouting report last week, as the Texans took Tennessee, an 0-4 Texans team, took a 4-0 Titans team to overtime. Why? Because they figured out the passing. I mean, Deshaun was on fire. The passing attack was there, and it was beautiful. The defense could not stop the run, and that's the only reason that the Texans lost that game. So if Pittsburgh learns anything, stop Derrick Henry.
Well, certainly they're going to load the box, and they've got the guys like Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt on that front line, more known perhaps for being pass rushers, but certainly that Pittsburgh defensive front and a safety like Minka Fitzpatrick who can come up and close gaps very quickly. That Pittsburgh defense is one I would bet on. What they really need to do is make Ryan Tannehill beat them.
Yes, they do.
And
yes,
force
the
ball out of his hands. I mean, it's sort of been fun to watch Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, he was a bust in Miami. They took him in the first round. It did not work out with the Dolphins.
A lot of injuries.
Oh, a lot of bad factors. And as we know, so much of being a successful quarterback in the league is having all the right pieces around you. He lands with the Titans. He unseats Marcus Mariota. He's performed very...
That's not super difficult.
All right.
But sad to say.
He's done very, very well. You look at his statistics since opening day 2019, and Tannehill is right up there with the best quarterbacks in the league. Are you buying Ryan Tannehill, or is it time to... The hype on him is starting to grow. Titans at 5-0. Do you think Ryan Tannehill is emerging as one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL?
No. I don't even hesitate on it. I think he's doing an amazing job with great coaching. That OC in Tennessee is amazing.
Yeah, Arthur Smith is now...
Arthur Smith.
He has emerged as a candidate to be a head coach next year, getting a lot of attention for what he's done with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely. I mean, in a tight game with the Texans, on a first play, he throws it downfield, which was totally unnecessary, and it's immediately intercepted. So he does very Ryan Tannehill-y things. I think he's in the right system. I think he's got the right OC. But no, do I think he is in the same category with an Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson, a Tom Brady, a Patrick Mahomes? Absolutely not.
Top 10 quarterback.
I don't think so, because you've got Lamar Jackson. I would put Dak above him. I would put, I'd have maybe the top 10.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. But he'd be like 10.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I mean, I'd even put Justin Herbert ahead of him right now, the way he's playing.
Well, big game this weekend. It's a show-me game. If Tannehill and the Titans actually come out on top of the Steelers, that would be impressive. Of course, the Steelers humbled Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Wow.
They shellacked them last
Four
week.
Four sacks against Baker.
It's amazing the roller coaster that is the coverage of the Browns, right? A week ago, they were 4-1. They were the talk of the league. People were ready to anoint them as a playoff team. Yet again, and then last week, they just couldn't get going against a great Steelers defense. And Mayfield, he had a nice win. The Browns had a nice win against the Colts the previous week, but they looked like that the bad version of Baker Mayfield reappeared against the Steelers.
Well, he continues to reappear in fourth quarters, but this was bad the whole game because of the pressure from Pittsburgh. Sacked four times. He was actually benched in the third quarter for Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Wow. You've got to be playing pretty bad. His line, 10 of 18, 119 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, and his QBR was 54.9.
Ouch.
That is ouch. He has, well, he has almost as many commercials as he does interceptions. Look at this. Baker had his 11th career game with multiple interceptions. 11th career game. He's only trailing famous Jameis with 13 and Phillip Rivers with 12. I think I watched him throw six of them in one of his last games.
Ah, those free throwers.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the bloom's off the rose in Cleveland.
Well, of course, I think Kevin Stefanski, the head coach in Cleveland, was in Minnesota with Case Keenum, so there have been whispers that maybe Stefanski would bring back Keenum to the starting lineup.
Well, when you've got numbers like this, Stefanski did the right thing.
The thing for the Browns, though, is maybe Keenum is better in the near term. The Browns need to figure out if Baker Mayfield is their future. This is Mayfield's third season, so this offseason they have a decision to make on whether to exercise the rookie option for a fifth year for Baker. And, of course, that happens. You have to make that decision, all rookie contracts, at the end of the third year. If you're a first-round pick, all rookie contracts at the end of your third season, before the start of the fourth, you have to decide, yeah, we're going to exercise that fifth year. And so they have a decision to make on Baker Mayfield. They've got to give him enough looks this year, and the jury's still out, clearly, on how high his ceiling is. And so I think they've got to wrestle that one to the ground. I just can't see putting Case Keenum in as the starter, maybe on those weeks, because Baker's been so inconsistent. Maybe those weeks when Baker is really struggling, you pull him out, you allow him to regroup, and you put in Case, who can play at a pretty good level.
Right, and has a lot of experience. And, you know, in Baker's defense, I can't believe I'm doing this, he has had three coaches in Hugh Jackson,
yep,
Freddie Kitchens, and now Kevin Stefanski. So,
right,
you know, there's not been a lot of stability in the coaching ranks either, but he's got to figure out his fourth quarter issues of his happy feet. His inaccuracy is horrific. But, you know, they've got enough weapons. They shouldn't have to be playing from behind. And that's what gets him into trouble in the fourth quarter.
We've got a minute more before we break, and I wanted to ask you about what was going to be the Sunday night football matchup. Mm. Buccaneers-Raiders, a pretty strong matchup, two pretty good teams. But with the COVID issues for Las Vegas, that game has been moved up to Sunday afternoon. It will be the Seahawks and the Cardinals moving to Sunday night football. But the Buccaneers looked really good last week. Their defense stood out. Their defense beat up Aaron Rodgers a little bit. And if the Raiders' offensive line didn't get to practice this week, assuming they're all healthy, they still didn't get to practice this week, that Buccaneers defense might put a lot of pressure on the Raiders.
Oh, they're going to put pressure on the Raiders. And the Raiders will not know until Sunday morning when they do those POC tests if – basically, the entire O-line can come back. And if they're negative, I've heard whispers that the NFL is like, well, next man up. That is so egregious on several levels for the NFL to do that. That is putting Derek Carr at risk against that defense or any defense when you've got your second string offensive line in. And if the test positive and they say go ahead with the game, test negative and go ahead with the game, how do you know that those POC tests, they've been really tricky all over the board. And that really puts an entire Tampa Bay team at risk as well. The NFL took care of New England with the COVID situation in Cam. They took care of Tennessee with several COVID positive tests. Take care of the Raiders in Tampa Bay. Move that game to later in the week.
All right. You heard it from the gloss. We will return momentarily on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Dow
and Carla Dawson.
One thing I look forward to this week, I think we've got a pretty good Monday night football matchup. It will be the Bears and the Rams. I was sort of surprised the Rams fell to the 49ers last week. 49ers all beat up, and Jimmy G was coming off an injury in a game he did not play well.
Kyle Shanahan called a good one for him.
He really did. So 49ers bounce back, beat the Rams. Rams 4-2, Bears 5-1. Bears defense looks really good.
Yeah, they look great. But, you know, the Rams have Aaron Darnold. There's always that. So that's tricky.
Well, the physical front of the Bears is pretty strong, too. There's Khalil Mack Robert Quinn and Akeem Hicks. I mean, Roquan Smith started the play. Well, look, they've got
love Roquan Smith.
Well, there's some talent on that.
He's on a good trajectory.
Defensive front. And now they've got a quarterback who has a Super Bowl ring on with Nick Foles. They made the move to move on from Mitch Trubisky. So credit the Bears. They are in the midst. I mean, 5-1. I did not see that coming.
I don't think anyone saw that coming. You know, it's 2020, stranger than fiction. We got everything going on. And the Bears at 5-1 would be one of those things.
Yeah, Bears and Packers, the class of that division. Vikings have slipped back. So
Vikings are sellers, I think. Do you think they're sellers at the trade deadline?
They made a trade to the Ravens. I'm counting on you to say his name because you're so much better at pronouncing names.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Yannick Ngakoue traded from the Vikings, the sellers, to the Ravens, and he's a pretty stout defensive lineman.
He's young, too, 25.
A good pickup for the Ravens.
Pro bowler.
Pro bowler.
Nice.
I think that bodes well for the Ravens. Well, this hour of The Boss and the Gloss on SportsMap Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, go to Rocket. Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. Thank you so much for joining us here on the SportsMap Radio Network. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss, and we will be back next Football Friday.
And I'll try not to make it a feisty Football Friday.
Bring the feist. You like it when she's feisty, don't you, Ron?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.